Blog Talk Radio.
Howdy, boo. Welcome to Homemade Business 101. My name is Isaiah. I have the pleasure of introducing the host. You know him. He's everybody's hero, my best friend. Will you please join me in welcoming my granddaddy, Baba Jahi?
Well, good morning, and thank you, Isaiah, for that wonderful, warm introduction. And it's so much an honor to be able to have you, my grandson and best friend, to introduce this show on Home-Based Business 101, the gospel of working from home. Well, it's Sunday morning, people, and hey, I want to thank you for tuning in. And our topic today is going to be around organized planning as we go through Chapter 7 of Think and Grow Rich this morning. But to get the mood and get my spirits feeling good, I'm going to start off with a little Jeff Majors song called Blessed Assurance. And right after that, I'll get into my content for this morning. So, again, I want to thank you for tuning in, and I want to thank the 31,600-some listeners that have tuned into a show here on Home-Based Business 101 on Blog Talk Radio, truly making this listener-supported radio. And with that said, hey, I'm going to bring up Jeff Majors, and then after that, I'll get into the content for this morning. Thank you. All right, that was Jeff Majors, Blessed Assurance, praising my Savior all day long. That's right. Hey, you know, we focus and focus on, you know, hey, if you're listening to this, you know, well, you know, you are listening to this. So I have to say, if you're listening to this, you know, hey, to be thankful that, you know, the Creator put in you and me the breath of life one more day so that we could communicate and share and spend time together. And so, hey, it is great to be able to do that. Okay, today's content is Chapter 7 of Think and Grow Rich, called Organized Planning. The crystallization of desire into action is a sixth step towards riches. And as Napoleon Hill states in this chapter, he says, you have learned that everything humans create, acquires, begins in the form of desire, that desire is taken on the first lap of its journey from the abstract to the concrete and to the workshop of the imagination where plans for its transition are created and organized. See, you know, desire, but it's got to be, again, a burning desire. And, you know, sometimes, you know, some of us, as we venture off to do the things that we're doing, we wonder why some people don't see what we see, or some people are not interested in seeing what we see. Well, part of it is that some people claim that they want some things to be different in their life, but they don't have a burning desire. A burning desire. See, I said a burning desire that, you know, they just can't rest. See, you know, that, and you know, those that can identify with this, you know, we're spiritual brothers and sisters. You know, those of us that just can't rest with the way things are. See, and so, you know, it's just something that it disturbs us. And, you know, we have that burning desire, you know, to do something different. When we take that desire, he said, the first lap of its journey from the abstract to the concrete into the workshop of the imagination. See, one of the worst things that happens to people when they become adults, they lose their imagination. Just remember that imagination that you had as a child. They lose that imagination. I've talked to people, you know, every day. There's a few that get involved with what we're doing, and there's some that say they want it, but they don't really want it because their body language and their actions say, you know, it's nice talk. But when it comes to going to the concrete, to actually putting together, as we're going to talk about here, the planning, the organized planning, they won't take that step. Or they'll tell you why it won't work. And they ain't tried nothing. Tell you why it won't work. Well, see, the other side, they don't have a burning desire. They just desire to be average and ordinary. But they'll talk like they have a desire to do something different, but they don't do nothing different. You can't get anything different if you keep doing what you've been doing. If you want something different, you got to do something different. See, but they think talking about doing something different is doing something different. And those people, you need to, you know, you need to stay away from them before you catch what they got, which is just idle talk. Okay. In Chapter 2 of Think and Grow Rich, Napoleon Hill gives you six definite practical steps as your first move into the translation of desire for money into its monetary equivalent. One of those steps is the formation of a definite practical plan or plans through which this transformation may be made. And in this chapter on organized plan, he goes through how to put those plans together. See, part of the steps is beyond the desire, is actually a definite plan, a plan of action. And at first you don't succeed, you try again. Thomas Edison. So he didn't fail 9,999 times when he was trying to make that light bulb work. He found 9,999 ways that it wouldn't work. See, somebody else would have gave up after the first or second try. This ain't going to work. Let me just go on back to doing what I'm doing. See, I can't live with being average and ordinary. I don't know about you, but, I mean, those that can identify what I'm saying, it's just something about our spirits that we just cannot live with being average and ordinary. you know, people look and say, well, you know, they say you haven't attained all the things that you say you're working towards to obtain yet. No, I haven't. But I'm going to keep pushing forward, or I'll die trying. But the heck if I'm going to settle for the average and ordinary life. See, now for those of you that's comfortable with that, don't complain. See, don't complain about what you don't have if you have accepted being average and ordinary. Just don't complain. That goes with the course. You accepted that lot. You don't want to do nothing different. But tell yourself that you believe you're doing something different when you're not doing nothing different. Okay. So he goes on to say, you know, you gotta make these plans. And as you make these plans, he says, this is what, you know, the first thing is what you got to do is this. Is you have to do the following, people. That's what I'm about to tell you in terms of what you got to do, in terms of the following. Is ally yourself with a group, as many people as you may need for the creation and carrying out of your plan or plans for the accumulation of money, making use of the mastermind principle. That's discussed in another chapter in this book, and I'm going to tell you a little bit about the mastermind principle. Compliance with this instruction is absolutely essential. Do not neglect it. So you got to form yourself a mastermind group. A mastermind group. A group of people that you can share and that you can be in total harmony with. He says, before forming your mastermind alliance, decide what advantages and benefits you may offer the individual members of your group in return for their cooperation. No one will work indefinitely without some form of compensation. No intelligent person will either request or expect another to work without adequate compensation, although this may not always be in the form of money. Mastermind group. What is the benefits when people, you ask people to join you and get involved in what you're doing? What are the benefits? What's in it for them? You know, what's they call that favorite radio station? You know, what's in it for me? You know, what's, you know, they got to know what's in it for them. Next, it says, arrange to meet with your members of your mastermind group at least a minimum of twice a week, or more often if possible, until you have jointly perfected the necessary plan or plans for the accumulation of money. So you got to not only form this group, but y'all got to be able to meet twice a week minimum. So if you don't, you're not able to do that, don't put somebody in your mastermind group that y'all not meeting at a minimum at least twice a week. You know, you got to be able to do that. It's just critical to be able to meet at a minimum of twice a week with this group. Because remember, this is not just a feel-good group. See, this is not just a feel-good group. You're talking about a group that has been brought together for a specific plan and a specific reason. Next, he says, maintain perfect harmony between yourself and every member of your mastermind group. If you fail to carry out this instruction to the letter, you may expect to meet with failure. The mastermind principle cannot obtain where perfect harmony does not prevail. You have to have harmony between you and the group. Again, a good friend of mine, who's an ancestor now, who transitioned last year, and he used to always tell me that building a business is not the same as some of the things that we did as far as the civil rights movement. He said building a business is not a mass movement. He said if you can find 5 to 7 key people that you can work with, 5 to 7, hear that, people? You need to find 5 to 7 key people. So you don't need a lot of folk. But these 5 to 7 key people, this mastermind group, you got to meet. Y'all got to meet twice a week minimum. People ain't willing to do that. Don't include them in your mastermind group. See, because if you're serious, you're looking on taking on an endeavor that's going to generate millions of dollars for y'all. And they got to be able to be excited as you move along the journey. And, you know, and the other thing is this, people. See, with this group, you got to make sure that y'all all understand. Success only comes before work in the dictionary. There's going to be some work involved. And it's not going to be instant gratification. See, unfortunately, living in this society, people look for instant success. They get involved in something, and if they ain't made $1 million in a month, it don't work. I knew that wasn't going to work. Come on, quit having unrealistic expectations about things that takes work. You got to work it to make it happen. You have to work. And you can't have unrealistic expectations about what you're doing. See, but too often people, you know, the expectations are very unrealistic. You know, we bring people into our business, and I understand, you know, we have some people that, you know, I put them in categories. There's some people that are associates, you know, and then there's key people. See, I only have a few key people. I have a few key people. I have a couple key people that no matter what, because we know what the goal is, the long-term goal, they're sticking it through. See? And we meet and we discuss what we're working on. So remember, in terms of that mastermind principle, you got to have perfect harmony with the people that you bring in, your mastermind group. You should have perfect harmony with everybody, even your associates. Some that's not going to be in your mastermind group. But that mastermind group, there can't be no people talking behind each other's back or doing other kind of stuff like that. They got to be in perfect harmony. He says, you know, Napoleon Hill says, keep in mind these facts. You're engaged in an undertaking of major importance to you. To be sure of your success, you must have plans which are faultless. You must have the advantage and experience, education, ability, and imagination of other minds. This is in harmony with the methods followed by every person who has accumulated a great fortune. See, when you can get, you know, it's just like, you know, hey, it's Sunday morning. What it says, when two or three gather together in my name, I will be there with you. Hey, y'all know what I'm talking about. So it's the same with this mastermind principle, that you got to treat it that way, that you got to be connected spiritually, mentally, and physically. And I'm going to tell you some unique things that have happened. When you're united like that, the other day I was thinking about a person in our group. It was something that we needed to talk about. And, you know, I was thinking about them. 2 minutes later, the phone rang, and it was them on the phone. See, there's a power in the universe. There's a power through spiritual connection. I'm not talking spooky stuff, you know, but there's a power. I was thinking about this person. I knew it was some things that we needed to discuss, and it was heavy on my mind. And 2 minutes later, the phone rang. And I told him, you know, I laughed, and I told him, I said, see? I said, boy, God is powerful. So, you know, and what I had been thinking about, talking to them about, they called me, and they asked me about it. And we was able to dialogue. But that's how deep this thing becomes when you work on this spiritual harmony with your mastermind group. See, now again, as I said earlier, is that, you know, you're going to have plans, and sometimes your plans will never, you know, I won't say never, excuse me, back up a minute, I didn't mean to say never. Sometimes your plans might not happen as fast as you want, or you might have a plan and you reach temporary defeat. As Napoleon Hill says, temporary defeat should mean only one thing: the certain knowledge that there is something wrong with your plan. He said, millions of people go through life in misery and poverty because they lack the sound plan through which to accumulate a fortune. Your achievement can be no greater than your plans are sound. No person is whipped until he quits in his own mind. So, again, you know, you have a plan. You put together a plan. You get with your mastermind group. Y'all meet twice a week, or more often if necessary. You put this plan together because, see, it's not your plan. It's the plan of everyone in the mastermind group. See, intelligent planning is essential for success in any undertaking designed to accumulate riches. And so you got to get this group together, and y'all have to meet. So I'm telling y'all people right now, if you want to succeed in something, see, it can't be you. It can't be me, myself, and I. You got to develop you a mastermind group. First, yeah, you got the vision. You got the desire. You got the idea. You got the goal. Now you got to find who can connect with you on it and then help them buy into it where it becomes a collective vision. And then once it becomes a collective vision, then see, then you got to make sure that people work on this collectively and righteously together. See, the thing is, what you want to have is consent and sympathy of those that become part of the mastermind group. So you don't want to have what's called forced leadership. Forced leadership is that it's your way or no way. You know, I've heard people say that in meetings. It's my way or hit the highway. I ain't working with nobody like that. See, now I understand you have a strong conviction about what you think. But if it's going to be a collective vision, then I got to have input. And it's the same that I do. It's from being a great follower to now being a leader. Is if I ask people to be involved, I got to be able to hear them out. Other than that, then why did I ask them to be a part of my mastermind group? See, you got to do that. There's some major attributes of leadership that, you know, want to touch on as we begin to wrap up this segment of this show. And Napoleon Hill says, one is unwavering courage based upon knowledge of self and one's occupation. So no follower wishes to be dominated by a leader who lacks self-confidence and courage. No intelligent follower will be dominated by such a leader very long. Now, again, this unwavering courage doesn't mean being a boss. People got bosses on their jobs. They're not looking for no more new bosses. But people, if they see that you have courage, see, then they're going to be willing to work with you and follow you. And also the next is self-control. The man or woman who cannot control him or herself can never control others. Self-control sets a mighty example for one's followers, which the more intelligent will emulate. They got to know you got self-control. See, the people checking you out. One of the people that's one of my mentors who teaches at the dean of our university for our company, he says, people are always checking you out because if you've put yourself in that leadership position, people checking you out all the time. All the time. See, so you got to stay on your, you got to stay sharp and be on your P's and Q's because you've chosen to be a leader. And if you're a leader, people are going to be checking you out, and you got to have self-control. Next, you got to have a keen sense of justice. Without a sense of fairness and justice, no leader can command and retain the respect of followers. See? It's like in football. You know, they have this saying, you know, and it took me a while to really grasp it. The team wins the game, but when they lose, the coach loses. Ain't that something? See, the leader has to have a keen sense of justice and fairness and accept responsibility, definiteness of decision. The man or woman who wavers in his decision shows that he is not sure of him or herself and cannot successfully lead others. See, I mean, again, you got to take on the responsibility of what goes right and what goes wrong. Definite of plans. A successful leader must plan his or her work and work his or her plan. A leader who moves by guesswork without practical definite plans is comparable to a ship without a rudder. Sooner or later, he or she will land on rocks. You got to have definite plans, people. That's why you meet at least twice a week with your mastermind group and work out your plans. See, the habit of doing more than paid for. One of the penalties of leadership is the necessity of willingness upon the part of leader to more than he or she requires of his followers. See, the leader's going to always do more. That's how you get to be a leader. You know, you do more than what you get paid for. 7, a pleasing personality. Leadership calls for respect. Followers will not respect a leader who does not grade high on all the factors of pleasing personality. See, you got to know how to humble yourself. See, now some people don't think being a leader means being humble. You got to be able to know how to humble yourself. When you make a mistake, you suck it up. See, people respect you when you said, you know, I was wrong about that. Not trying to weasel your way out of it. And having a pleasing personality. You get more, it's always to say, you attract more flies with honey than you do with that other stuff. You know. And so you got to have a pleasing personality. Sympathy and understanding. A successful leader must be in sympathy with his followers. Moreover, he must understand them and their problems. That don't mean you can solve all of the people's problems. Sometimes people just want somebody to hear them, just to listen to them. So, you know, it's important as a leader that you have sympathy and understanding for the people that's part of your group. Number nine, mastery of detail. Successful leader calls for the mastery of details in leadership positions. You make that point, you got to be the master of detail. And I already talked about this other one. The willingness to assume full responsibility. The successful leader must be willing to assume responsibility for mistakes and shortcomings of his followers. If he tries to shift his responsibility, he will not remain the leader. If one of his followers makes a mistake and shows himself incompetent, the leader must consider that it is he who failed. Again, I told you in football, they say when they lose, the coach say, hey, I lost the game. When they win, the players won the game. See, taking that responsibility. And last, cooperation. The successful leader must understand and apply the principle of cooperation effective and be able to induce his followers to do the same. Leadership calls for power and power calls for cooperation. You got to have the cooperation and respect of those that work with you. So it's important that you get that mastermind group together. Y'all meet twice a week. You iron out your plans for whatever it is that you're working to succeed, to make your life different. Accept that responsibility. Work on that cooperation. And you will be on your path to where you need to go. Hey, this has been Baba Jahi here on Home Based Business 101 this morning, sharing with you from Napoleon Hill's book, Think and Grow Rich. Chapter on organized planning. I hope you got something out of this morning. And remember, it's my time, it's your time, it's our time. And I'll close with our theme song called It's My Time. And, hey, we just want to again thank the 31,600 listeners who have listened to a show here on Home Based Business 101 on Blog Talk Radio. May you have a blessed day, and may God be with you.
We hope you enjoyed the Success Songs original composition. For music and words that create powerful moments in your day, go to successsongs.com and hear life from a higher vibration.